What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Literate Lessons, episode 187. I'm your wonderful host, Ro, and I am still undefeated. Today, I'm joined just with Carter. Carter, how are the vibes, buddy?
Well, you know, we made Bill Belichick sad today, so that's always a plus.
Always a plus.
I don't know if you heard, I don't even know if you watched the game, but they said that this is the worst loss that Bill Belichick has ever had in his career, and that just makes me so happy.
So, I didn't see the final. I was forced to see the game. We led off, I was able to watch the Eagles game, go Birds.
Go Travis, and go. All right, that's fine.
So we go into overtime, and then since I live in Southern Massachusetts, I live 20 minutes away from the Patriots Stadium, and they're like, okay, no, we want to watch the Patriots game, and so instead of getting overtime, it switched to the Pats game instead, and I'm like, no.
We were talking about it before, which is so funny because I had the opposite. Where I tried to go load into the Cowboys game, and they're like, actually, you have to finish watching the Eagles game first. I'm like, can this game just, draw? Can this just be a draw?
No. But we're not here to talk about our football teams. We are here to talk about Pokemon, and we want to lead off with the announcement that everyone was waiting for, the Regulation E rule set.
Yeah, we finally got the Reiki Eve rule set because, you know, it's October 1st, so what better time to announce it than the day it starts? It's literally what we've been playing. It's all the DLC mons added. That's it. That's the format.
Yeah, the only new Pokemon that were banned were, any of the new mythicals that are eligible to be transferred on top of the other, restricted mythicals that were banned in previous formats. So it's good that we've been practicing the right format. It kind of sucks that they couldn't have just told us this when the DLC dropped.
At the same time, everyone kind of assumed that this is what it was going to be. I think it would have been weird to be like, hey, we're actually going to take home mons away. Or, you know, just like, hey, we're going to take away the Paradox Mons. I don't see them doing that at this point anymore. It would be weird for them to add them in and then go, actually, no.
Yeah, I think...
Granted, we had that in Sword and Shield with 7 and then 8 and then 9 went back to 7 and then we had 10 and then we had... It was just
11, you know, which was 8 again.
And then we had 12, which was everything, except, yep. And then we had 13, which was literally
everything.
So, it was very weird for them to add and subtract and then add again. But at the same time, we didn't have in-person events that actually had to be prepped and planned for until Series 12, right?
Yeah, Series 12 was the first format. That was the first format back, and they played Series 12 throughout the entire year.
That's what I thought. But again, that was 2 years ago at this point, a year and a half ago at this point. So
about a year, and then I think it was there was a Series 13 event in Southeast Asia, Overall, by then, people were just done. And even the Pokemon Company, the reason why they didn't do regionals in the fall or winter of 2022 was specifically because they're a new game's coming out, and they didn't want a situation I know when Sword and Shield came out, they had LAIC that weekend, and even though Sword and Shield were out, people were playing Ultra Series. Four points, and people earned invites off of those events. And then when we had a pandemic, which threw everything into a mess, but people were going to Worlds off events and points they earned playing Ultra Series. And so they were we don't want this anymore, which is why we had that break. But with Regulation E, We had our Rumble, our first Rumble in a good bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Which was a fun Regulation E Rumble. Good money tour as well.
Our Rumbles historically we've had, you know, some kind of cash prize maybe, and usually it's like $25, just something. And we put out our Twitter post saying, hey, you know, first place is going to be $30. And then Saturday morning comes along, or it was Friday afternoon, I think. And we look and we're like, hey, we have 100 people signed up for this.
Yeah.
So, as a result, we bumped the prize payout to $100 total. 75 for first and then 25 for second. And, you know, obviously had a very good turnout. I think after dropping inactive players, I think we had like 78.
I think we opened round with 78, excluding people who forgot to check in or didn't submit team sheets and such. It was an early start time. It was a 9 a.m. start time. But when one of your TOs has a newborn and one of them lives on the other side of the Atlantic, early tournaments happen. Like, you know, regionals start at 9. Actually, regionals, you have to show up earlier than 9 o'clock. If anything, you know, I think we gave you an extra half hour. For Carl,
time is an illusion right now, so...
Yeah, I had
at one point, while he's running it, he's like, guys, I just fell asleep in my chair for like 20 minutes. Is everything okay? Just like, yeah, man, we're good.
Yeah, pretty much like once we hit, I mean, it was running itself once we hit top cut. But at that point, it was like, Carl was like, I'm done. Ro, you're in charge.
Angelo, take over. You got this.
Yeah, and even then, like, I was telling Amanda, because I was actually supposed to be at a wedding this weekend, but the flooding in New York stopped me from being able to get down there.
I texted you earlier. I'm like, hey, are you home yet? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, you think we're going to be home till later. I didn't realize you all didn't get to go.
So we got about 2.5 hours into the drive, and we weren't even like 100 miles in. And like, I've driven to my parents in a literal snowstorm once. Mm-hmm. And I saw more car accidents in like the 100-ish miles we drove from like where we live to like not even the middle of Connecticut than in that entire snowstorm. And like, Amanda and I looked at each other, we're like, we're not doing this. Especially
not worth it.
Yeah, especially because like there was no way we could drive through New York without hitting the flood zone. And like in this, like New York, shout out to everyone who is in New York. Hopefully that you're all doing well. Our listeners who are in the city, you were in a state of emergency on Friday. Like I saw like the videos, they were really bad. It was a really dangerous place to be on Friday. And that's why I stayed home and instead helped run a tournament.
So we also had the Beast Coast Safari Zone event this weekend, which we'll get to here in a minute. I kind of want to talk about our metagame of what we saw.
Yeah, definitely. I think let's go through
the true
first
highlight of the tournament. Was we had the guy. I think the true highlight of the event was the madman who brought 6 monkeys.
Listeners, hold on. We're going to get to the tour. We have to first have a discussion. We held 2 polls on 2 different platforms to discuss the Illumise Ambipom debacle. And overwhelmingly, our listeners, our lovely, intelligent, creative, crafty listeners, agreed with Ro, the correct host.
Counterpoint. Wolf Glick also put out a video and said Ambipom is above Illumise. So clearly we're on the right side of history.
Long story short, I put out $20 for someone to bring Illumise to beat Carter. You didn't?
Not only did no one bring Illumise, I didn't lose to one.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm happy you all sided with me. I'm a little disappointed that you didn't take that extra step. You could have been $20 richer if you brought an Illumise to our tournament got paired with Carter and beat him. Joke's on you for that.
I do want to talk about the team for a minute. We should have a video going up this week of my tournament run and everything. It was really fun. It unironically was an absolute blast, and every match felt very competitive.
Do you have the paste to pull up or the rental?
I don't know if I have the original paste. I sent Carl an updated paste of like, hey, these are things I would change, like moving forward if this is something we wanted to do. But it's super, super minor changes. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick and just talk to you about like what I did versus like what I would do now.
Yeah, because like so a lot of times when we're all building teams, it's usually like we run it by each other. Mm-hmm. No, you did not. You went and said, I'm bringing six monkeys. And
Carl was like sending me like actual teams and everything. I'm like, this doesn't have enough monkeys. So he sent me like just an empty paste of Infernape, Rillaboom, Ambipom, Annihilate, Monkey Dory, Passimian. I'm like, man, that team seems real weak to Fluttermane. I need a Fluttermane answer. So I dropped Passimian for a Rangaroo, which some might argue isn't a monkey because it's an orangutan, which I disagree with.
tomato, tomato.
Exactly. But what's sick about this is I have four Pokemon with Fake Out. So we were... the original team had Physical Infernape. We were like Terra Electric, and we were like Fake Out Protect, Raging Fury, and Thunder Punch with like Iron Fist, Sash on Infernape, pretty standard Assault Vest, Rillaboom, just like Grassy Glide, Wood Hammer. I was playing Knock Off. I would probably change that to like High Horsepower in the future. I don't think I clicked Knock Off once. And
really?
It just like was never really important because like... when I was facing down Fluttermanes, I would just Grassy Glide them. When I'm facing down Ogre Pawns, Knock Off isn't doing anything there. And, like, I played against a lot of Ogre Pawns, and having High Horsepower would have been better there.
Well, that definitely makes sense. I know in previous, I know specifically in Regulation D, people liked Knock Off to take off Rocky Helmets to help their Urshifus. But Urshifu is a bear, not a monkey.
And, like, also at the same time, I was actually Rocky Helmet on Orangaroo, anticipating a lot of Urshifus, and I played zero. So, like, that's actually something I would change in the new iteration of the team. And on the video, we'll have a, like, updated rental and everything as well, just talking through, like, the changes and everything we made. I changed Orangaroo from Rocky Helmet to Citrus Berry, and, like, I was... bold max defense, max HP. This thing lives so many hits. There was a like, it was a 2v2 where I had Annihilate plus Orangaroo, and my opponent went Ivy Cudgel plus Drain Punch off of Iron Hands. I lived the hit, protected the next turn, got a little bit of grassy terrain recovery, lived another Ivy Cudgel. Finally died to the second. Like, my opponent attacked into this thing six times to, finally take me out. And in the meantime, I'm just like, all right, Annihilate's going to bulk up and then punch you really hard.
Yeah, I know. I think it was game one you texted us that you got your Annihilate to plus five.
Yes, in one turn. It was turn one. Turn two. In two turns, I was able to get my Annihilate to plus five. They went, the lead was Annihilate plus Rillaboom versus Tornadus and Fluttermane. They were booster Fluttermane. I go for Fake Out into the Tornadus, bulk up. They Moonblast, I Terra Fire the Annihilate. So it's Fake Out, Terra Fire, bulk up. They Moonblast my Annihilate. And I get the special attack drop. Like, all right, cool, thanks. The next turn, they go for Bleak Windstorm, get the speed drop on Annihilate, put me to plus 5. Like, all right, well, this is going to hurt something. Just one tapping of Fluttermane into, like, one tapping an Iron Hands. Oh, dude, it was so cool. And,
yeah, and I mean...
I played against all... I think all the teams I played against, I ended up dropping it 2-2. Every loss I had... What?
I said wasn't cut out for trying to make that cut run.
Nah, not really. I, you know, I'm just like, eh, I still have the rest of my Saturday. I'm going to go do something. And so I sat around and played Madden. but, like, the real all-star of the team was Annihilate. It was just absolutely absurd. Annihilate was very, very good, just being able to, like, bulk up, sit in front of Fluttermanes, and just be an absolute annoyance to all of my opponent's teams. With all four of the teams I played, I think, had Fluttermane, Lando. It was, like, Fluttermane, Lando... Ogre Pawn was like the core I played against, and hands. I think all four had hands as well. So I was able to just like they Terra'd fired their Ogre Pawn, I think, in the last two matches. And I'm just like, Annihilate doesn't care if I also Terra. So I just got to like plus two bulk ups and just like. They can't do anything to me. Even if they're at plus one, I'm at plus two defense, max HP with lefties. Like, I'm gonna sit here and just like not care about them because their only attacks they carry are Ivy Cudgel and Woodhammer, of which I resist both. And then you being able to, I was able to live Specs Power Gem while Terra'd from Fluttermane. Being able to live like Specs Shadow Ball like inside of Terra as well, so like I think that's less damage if I remember correctly, but like it was just better for them to lock into Shadow Ball versus Power Gem because like nothing else on my team is weak to Power Gem, and like Shadow Ball is just like better damage into everything else. So yeah, Annihilate was just able to like sit in front of things. The rest of my team was able to pressure them. Eventually, they had to bring out their Lando against me, so then I get my Defiant boost, and it's just like, it was really good. Orangaroo was able to, like, depending on the Lando build, there was one build I was able to two-shot them with Foul Play. It's like, that seems absurd. So, I if I remember correctly, I ended up winning that match because it became down to Orangaroo versus Lando, and they're choice locked into Rock Slide, which because I'm inner focus, I can't be flinched. And so I'm just like, all right, cool. I guess Foul Play is just gonna two shot you, and you can't do anything about it because you're not two shotting my max bulk Orangaroo.
Yeah, if I had to guess, a lot of the Landos are. Adamant, which is why I know I honestly like one of the more common sets I'm seeing right now with Lando are the scarf sets where your max speed, you're either going to be max attack through the 252, 252, 4, or you're going to hit like the second bump or the third bump in attack. So either like 116, 196 and put like a little bulk. So it makes sense that you're that a Foul Play two shotting because you're investing your nature bonus plus, like, at least going to the second bump, which for, like, your attack, like, for your attack. So, like, that is a lot of attack. I was just looking at your four matches. You played a while. I mean, I didn't look at different Ogre Pawn forms because Limitless does not let us look at...
You get to see item. All four of them were Hearthflame.
Okay, so yeah. So yep. You played a whopping nine against, in your four matches, you played against a whopping nine different Pokemon, with every single, as you said, every single one of your opponents having the Lando T, Hands, Fluttermane, and Heartflame Ogrepon, yeah. Core.
And then, personally, I played against two Amoongus, I played against a Tornadus, there's a Milotic in here. A bundle. I played against two bundles. The second one was Sash, and the Sashes ended up like costing me my second win.
Interesting.
I was in like multiple positions of being able to like win the game, except my opponent had Sash intact. So I'm just like, man, that's really unfortunate, because if this was any other item, I win this game.
Yeah.
And you also against that match, my opponent's Roaring Moon, Ambipom like tooth shot it. It's like fake out into last resort, like just dealt with Roaring Moon.
So I personally really like Roaring Moon. I built a team yesterday featuring Roaring Moon. I think it's a I know people call it Roaring Mid. Personally, I call it Roaring Mauluun, because Jess wouldn't stop calling it Mauluun for a solid 2 weeks, and then she got Nashant doing it, and now we all just do it because we're just sick in the head. But yeah, I think Moon's a really cool Pokemon, but it's also like one of those Pokemon where you look at its stats, you think, wow, this is going to live everything, it's going to be super bulky, and then you realize its physical defense is actually trash. It's actually, so you play against the Tailwind sets, which are probably booster speed. On your booster speed sets, where you have to go 252 Jolly, and then 228 attack in order to maximize your attack stat while still getting the speed booster. On those sets, it's actually more optimal bulk wise to go 4 HP, 28 defense, 4 special defense, instead of doing the HP dump in 4 special defense. I mean, in 4 defense, because of how low your defense stat is.
Both of them I played against were booster attack.
Yeah. Booster attack Tailwind. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, game one of my my last match, I expected them to like looking at my team, you don't really need to set Tailwind against it. Like just looking at it, most of my mons are fairly slow and none of them are outspeeding Troy Scarf, Lando, and like naked Fluttermane, right? And like Ogerpon is outsped by exactly Ambipom. That's it. It's like my opponent set Tailwind and I'm just like, I don't really care about that. It's like they had like bundle. The four they brought were bundle Fluttermane, land Roaring Moon, Ogerpon. I'm just like, these outspeed everything I have going on. There's no reason to set Tailwind. But they
just
ended up
to make sure.
They ended up like Acrobatics my Rillaboom on turn one, because I expected them to protect in front of my Rillaboom, right? Like, I'm going to fake you out. You're going to protect, and your Fluttermane's going to attack me. Right? Like, that's the play I saw. Yeah. And instead, they're just like, nah, Acrobatics, your Rillaboom. I'm just like, that's really bad for me. Because reading into that, I went for Grassy Glide into the
Flutter
so I could two-shot it.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. I don't know. Do you remember what your second Pokemon was?
Annihilate.
Yes. Yeah, so okay, so in that situation I can kind of see what you're thinking, because unless you're committing the Terra,
I didn't want to lose my Annihilate to like a Shadow Ball or a Moonblast.
I was saying
they were Fairy Feather. So I'm like, I can't afford to just take a Moonblast here, so I'm gonna Terra. And they do end up going for the Moonblast into me, and I get my bulk up off or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, man, I am in a terrible position now.
I mean, well, just thinking of it, like, if they went Terra flying on their Moon, then it's like, the Annihilate really, on turn one at least, really isn't threatening anything. So, like, if you get faked out, you get faked out. You're going to, mm-hmm. It's either a base 50 or, after getting hit, a base 100 power, Rage Fist, which is like whatever, and or it's going to be a resisting Drain Punch.
I think that is, actually talking about it, because I anticipated them to attack into I expected them to attack into Ape, I went for Rage Fist into the Fluttermane, like Terra. Okay. Rage Fist to KO it,
Okay, and so you talk, yeah. So the moon.
I took a very aggressive line, and it ended up costing me my my Rillaboom, which then I lost that game to Bundle. So then game two, I ended up like adjusting Perlian appropriately, and if I remember correctly, I ended up winning game two, and then lost game three to Bundle Sash.
Yeah. No, Bundle is a very interesting Pokemon. Do you want us to talk about the standings or the metagame?
We can talk about the metagame.
Yes, do you want to throw it up and we can just go through that?
Oh yeah, I guess I can actually do that, can't I?
Yes, you. I sure as hell can't. Let's see. Don't give me that look.
I was looking at trying to do things. I wasn't trying to give you a face. So let's see. There we go. So first, what's really interesting, if we go to Swiss, yeah, okay, cool. Iron Hands, highest represented Pokemon in our tournament here. Really kind of surprising by that, if you want me to be honest. I think Iron Hands is obviously very good, but I don't know if it's better than like Fluttermane.
No, I think it is. I think any Pokemon that has this much usage, where it looked like just under 63% usage, and that Pokemon practically having no ability, like Quark Drive is almost never activated on hands.
I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen it activated.
Recently, I actually have seen a few players run Booster Energy on Iron Hands. Like, for our tournament, we did have Amoongus in 9th in usage, and overall Amoongus is going up a little in usage. But in general, it's not like there isn't as much power move. So on your Swords Dance sets, you might not be super like, oh, I have to be goggles, which means that if you don't have the goggles, if your lefties are going somewhere else, that booster energy kind of works. And then it also makes it so that maybe if you don't need to do that Swords Dance immediately, you can start putting out some offensive pressure. I'm not saying it's the optimal item on Swords Dance hands, but it is an item that, like, I think at least now you have to look at more than you did in previous metas. But in general, it's a mon that doesn't have an ability, and it just does that much. It's the glue. It does everything. It's one of the best. It is the best fake out user in the meta. Drain Punch is great for just living, like being able to just stay in there, heal up, live things. You can have Heavy Slam to take out those pesky Fluttermanes. And the electric coverage is really great. When you look at this list, there isn't any other electric mons that you have to worry about. So hands is like kind of like cornering that market of good offensive electric typing.
What I do think is interesting is if you look at the top four here, it's Iron Hands, Lando, Ogerpon, Fluttermane. And like, also, if you look at, you know, the teams I played, those are the four mons I played against, right? Mm. Like, in a vast majority of the games, those mons were also brought. Ogerpon, I didn't start facing it until round three, and I think my opponent brought it games two and three. And I actually think I could have won game two. To like win the set in two, but I expected them to go for a protect with their Ogerpon, so I went for a last resort into hands. And then like Ogerpon's just like, all right, cool, I'm gonna punch whatever your partner is and then drain. Like, I expected last resort to do more damage into hands than what it did, and ended up just like living and then drain punching me back and just like recovering everything I just did. I'm like, that's rather unfortunate.
No, hands is, it's so fat.
Game three, I made the adjustment, and basically same situation. Went for fake out into hands, they protected their Ogerpon that turn. Next turn, I spiky shield the Ogerpon and just, like, one-shot it. It's like, That felt really good. And, you know, it wasn't like a true one shot. It was like 80% or whatever, but still. Very, very good attack.
Yeah.
So being able to just deal with that immediately. But like moving out of the top four, we go from 40 Flutterbane down to the next highest being 24 Heatran. Like, pretty drastic drop off there.
It definitely is. And I do think it says a lot about Heatran on how good of a Pokemon it is, where it's our fifth most used Pokemon, and it is weak to Iron Hands, it is weak to Lando T, and it is weak to... Actually, not only is it weak to the Wellspring Mask Ogerponds, but the Heartflame Mask Ogerponds have Mold Breaker, and you can't do those defensive Grass or Bug Terras into that, because all of a sudden now you're just making yourself lose to another Pokemon. So even though all of these Pokemon are really, really great into Heatran, it's still up there. With that being said, one of the nice things that we have with Limitless is we are able to see the number of times Pokemon's brought along with its relative win rate. Now, of course, a lot of these Pokemon are going to be in the 50-ish percent range, but it all for win and loss rate. But it's always nice. You can actually sort by win rate right there. It's always nice to scroll down and see the Mons that actually had a handful of usage that did well. And if you scroll down a little more, you're going to get to one of the Mons that I was about to talk about. Where are you?
I'd say Roaring Moon had a over 50% win rate. Amoongus had pretty close to the exact same number.
Yeah. And the Mon I was going to talk about was Chiyu. We had 8 Chiyu in this tournament that had a 55.81% win rate. We'll probably see it as well when we get to the Beast Coast tournament. Chiyu is really going up in usage recently. The Tornadus Flutterfish is just really good into everything. It puts out a ton of offensive pressure. We are at the early stages of a metagame, and especially with the Ogerponds having this 100% accurate 100 base power move that has a high crit chance, it's very, very difficult to play balance right now. And if you are playing a balance-ish team, you have one of those two Ogerponds with you, along with that trio of Flutterhands, Lando T, that have been topping earlier. And so in an offensive format, that Chiyu Flutter is going to do really well. So I wouldn't be shocked if Chiyu starts getting even more usage and Heatran starts dropping. On the other end, Pokemon that were brought a lot that didn't do super well, Sinistro, which we gave a lot of love to last week, 18 and 31 on the day, like a little under 37%. I think it's a situation of people are expecting it now, and maybe it's like people are saying, oh, this Pokemon's good, let me just slap it on, and they aren't putting it on the right teams.
I think that's part of it.
And people also know about the Mon. Another Pokemon that I sang high praises of last week is Alolan Ninetales, which did not perform as well in... Yeah,
just over a 30% win rate.
Now, if you go up to cut, I think we only had one Alola Tails in our top 15 teams for cut.
Okay.
Again, it's a situation of... I think people expected, like they saw it did super well in both major tours last weekend, and along with those Flutterfish teams where you're adding like this other like fire type that can do a lot of damage even through the screens. With Tornadus being like in high usage, there's a lot of Sunny Day Tornadus, a lot of Taunt Tornadus, different ways to just stop the Alolan Ninetales from getting its screens up and doing its thing. So it's like, there's a lot of Ninetales hate in the meta right now. I'm not saying it's bad Pokemon, not saying it's a dead Pokemon. The meta comes in shifts and waves, and it currently isn't, like, the tide isn't currently going Alolan Ninetales is right.
I think, speaking of Pokemon we talked about last week, Ursaluna had 7 copies brought between 4 Blood Moon, 3 regular, and had a combined win rate of 10 and 20?
Yep, 10 and 20.
So like 33% win rate for Ursa Luna.
It's like adding like a ton of really good grass types to the meta.
Is really the, bad for ground types.
Or hurts the ground type. And like I think
to complement that as well, Trick Room was not like overly productive, and I think that's a big part of why Ursa Luna really suffered as well.
Well, not this form of Trick Room. If you do scroll up a little, we do see both Indeedee and Armourouge with good win rates. However, that is because our second place team was a Psy Spam team. I think in general, Psy Spam, like as you. You can do it.
There we go.
No.
This is sorted by top cut representation.
Yeah, so we had 3 Psy Spam teams, including including the team that came in second place, make cut. Psy Spam also did really well in day one of the Beast Coast tour with our good friend 1-seed Tommy. Getting the 1-seed, going 7-0 against a Gauntlet in Swiss using the Indeedee Armourouge combination. This is, again, it's early meta. People are developing things. And one of the nice things with the Indeedee Armourouge combination is the fact that it's like it is a very set combination. It's a very set mon. And the other really nice thing with it is there's not a Tinglu in sight, and Tinglu was the Pokemon that really hurt that duo, and so without Tinglu ruining Indeedee Armourouge's day, you can just go in with it, and if you're like a experienced Trick Room player, if you know your lines, if you have your practice, you can do really, really well with this combination in Regulation E when you would have definitely struggled in previous regulations just because of the fact that you had Tinglu around or there were just more dark types being used.
Again, yeah, I think that's the big thing right there is less dark types means better psychic types, right?
Yep.
And, you know, being like Indeedee being psychic normal is obviously very good in a format where Fluttermane is still very popular. So, like, you can reasonably do your Psy Spam things because they can't hit your Expanding Force user with a Shadow Ball because Indeedee says, no, stop that. Yeah. What are you doing?
And, like, while we do have 2 Dark Types right ahead of Indeedee and Armourouge, Roaring Moon very rarely wants to be a Dark Type. It does want to be a Dragon Type because the Dragon Typing is really, really great into this Ogerpon meta. But that's a mon that is a Terra Hog, and it's usually Terrant going to like a strong defensive typing of either Steel or Poison, or going into Terra Flying to get those stab acrobatics off. And Chimpao, while it is a dark type, it's also an ice type, which means that they click Heat Wave instead of Expanding Force, and then they start clicking Expanding Force after the Heat Wave hits.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, I think the other thing with Top Cut is that only 4 Fluttermanes out of 15 teams made cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that we have just as many Roaring Moons, Chimpaos, and Cresselias really tells you a lot about how well Fluttermane actually did in this event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Lando and Iron Hands, I think those are, as of right now, the two, like, Lando, Hands, Ogerpon are the 3 best Pokemon in the format. Mm-hmm. Amoongus was the best performing Pokemon when you look at the number of people who brought it and their win rates. People were doing well with Amoongus, and then everything else just fell through from there.
There's only... Interesting. Yeah, so Thundurus down here with a 77% win rate, 10 and 3. I believe it had a really good showing in Top Cut, though, didn't it?
Yeah, our winner was using Thundurus.
Okay, yeah, that explains a lot. Yeah, going 11-0 will do that.
Yeah, and then Roaring Moon was on our second place team. I apologize earlier, it was third place for our Psy-Spam team.
Gotcha.
We also had a Psy-Spam team in sixth place as well. If you scroll down a little to 15th place, which is our last top cut team, we were a X2 cut.
Had another Psy-Spam here in ninth as well.
Ninth, yep. And you do have some
like
interesting
hard sun room as well. We have like Psy-Spam plus Torkoal, Lilligant
with Hisuian Typhlosion. Look at that.
I want to look at this team. Choice Specs Torkoal. Somebody is ready to drop the hammer on people.
I mean, it is to be expected. Like, in the grand scheme of things with Torkoal, you're running Specs or you're running, like, Charcoal. And so you want to click Heat Wave, you want to click Eruption and just blow stuff up. To be quite honest, this is a very standard team. I know this is actually a similar team to some of the size spams that we were seeing do well in Regulation D. I go back to one of our mods, Tim. And Tim was doing the same thing where, actually, Tommy had it as well, where you have your Psy Spam, and then the Black Glasses Urshifu is great glue for everything to be put together. And then the only like unique spin on it is that Hisuian Typhlosion, the fast eruption with Fake Out, the fast eruption with Choice Scarf, I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. Overheat for some really, really great chip, like strong, like just burst damage, Shadow Ball for the type coverage, and to be able to hit into Flutter. I'm actually going to pull it up now, what that speed stat is for that Typhlosion. So if they're running a if they're running, actually, I'll even check Modest right now. Give me a second. Even if they're Modest, assuming they are 252 speed, they're outrunning all Flutter main who are not booster speed with that scarf, which is a great thing to hit. So that Shadow Ball is probably hitting really hard and potentially picking up the KO on Flutter main on one shot.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But the rest is, again, it's standard Sunroom stuff. It's, you have like your Chlorophyll user. The only thing you're really missing with modern day Sun is the Protosynthesis user. But the Protosynthesis mons really don't go well with the Indeedee Armor Rouge, which is why, again, in our tiering last week, I was saying where the Cantonian Ninetales is like better off for those
Proto-Sun teams. Proto-Sun teams. I wonder if there's something you can do with like Screamtail plus Kanto Ninetales. I don't know if that's quite good enough, but
it feels
an
very passive.
Idea. Yeah, it seems very lackluster.
Yeah. I think the especially in the beginning of the format, everything's going to be super hyper offensive. The end of Regulation C, we saw a lot of Screamtail usage. A lot of people were using it at NAIC. I felt like whenever I was watching whatever stream that was on at the venue, everyone was using Screamtail. So maybe it's a mon that pops up or that new new age Proto Sun becomes a thing in like our November regionals, or even like our we might start seeing it in Toronto, which is the end of this month. I definitely don't expect to see it right now at the upcoming Peoria. I think we're just going to see what works, and what people know that works is the top four of our meta, the good stuffs.
Yep, 100%. So I guess with that being said, we can move on over to the Beast Coast metagame and talk about it some here.
Yeah, final talk about thought about our tournament. Thank you everyone who came out and played. This was our biggest Rumble yet, if I'm not mistaken. And it was really great to have you all. and to support us. And please, like, next event we have, feel free to enter. And the more people we get, the better the tournament's going to be. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. So we have the data usage, the usage data here from the Beast Coast Safari Zone event this weekend. This was a two-day in-person event, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. So kind of interesting. Same for in top usage, just Fluttermane is way higher than Iron Hands here. 58 versus 50. 50 Ogre Pond, 45 Landorus. So if you look at like the metagame shares here, it's 59% Fluttermane versus in our event we had 51.
Yeah.
Iron Hands is 51 versus our 62. And then, you know, dropping off a little bit from each of those from there. But, which, I mean, if you look at it, the good mons are still good is what this looks like.
Yeah. I think that one of the things, it's what I brought up earlier, we see Chiyu in sixth place and Heatran all the way down in 10th, if I can count correctly. I can count correctly, 10th. And honestly, even right below it, Hisuian Arcanine, which really didn't have a showing whatsoever in our event, 13 of them at the Beast Coast event. So we're already seeing like other fire types that are not Heatran really showing up and performing well. You look at Chiyu.
Sorry, I was curious if I clicked on this, if I could see the Ogre Pond item usage here.
Nope.
But unfortunately not. That's what I was curious about, is to see what the popular Ogre Ponds were. But unfortunately, I can't do that on Limitless. I would have to go through and actually parse all the data.
Yep, so yeah, Limitless does not break out the Ogre Pond form, sadly. We need Tim's bot to do that, but it broke because Discord is angry at it. And Tim's also getting married tomorrow. With that being said, side topic, Tim, our lovely mod, Mouse Lab, Lab Mouse creator, congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. You will be married the day this episode comes up. And
absolutely. Congrats to you, Tim. Congrats on Lab Mouse being just an absolute huge success as well. It really does just make, you know, all of our lives easier. Like, everyone who's trying to parse data from tournaments, it just makes things so much easier. So, seriously, thank you so much, Tim, and congrats on your wedding.
Wish we had it right now, but we're just going to guess most of those Ogre Ponds are Wellspring and Heartflame. I do know that the winning team, Grant Laird's team, Team New England's Grant Laird, go New England, his was a fire Ogre Pond, so okay. I at least know that. I think other things to take away from, again, like the Hisuian Arcanine, Sinistra, again, was a relatively popular Pokemon with a not great win rate. Roaring Moon was a popular, like, so Roaring Moon and Goldengo also had good bits of usage, and King Gambit. And actually, tied with them was Urshifu Dark. Those four Pokemon had some really great win rates that weren't
Roaring
like
Moon
top.
Of those four had the lowest at 53% win rate, which I mean, when you're looking at, you know, over the course of just about 90 games here, I mean, a 53% win rate is, I mean, excuse me, about 80-ish games, a little over 80.
79.
I am curious. I want to sort here by win percentage and just kind of see, like, what did not perform well. Illumise, 0-2. That's
Oh,
that's
my God. Like, someone brought an Illumise. Wait. Go back. I want to see who brought the Illumise. That was brought by Sheev Sunil. Sheev, you're my new best friend.
It is rather disappointing that Sheev did not represent Illumise well, unfortunately.
You know?
Just doing, like, rain things here with Pelipper, Water Ogre Pond, Zapdos, Chienpao, King Gambit, and then, of course, we have Tailwind, Rain Dance, Charm, Infestation, Illumise. The downside here is you are still a Illumise, and you probably want Sash on it instead of your Pelipper, if you want my honest opinion.
I think the Covert Cloak is definitely more important.
I do like Cloak, but man, you're just so frail.
You are, but like Illumise is definitely a Pokemon where you want it to do its thing, and then you also want it to go away as quickly as possible. So once it does its thing, just get rid of it.
No Ambipom. So Ambipom had a better win rate this weekend than Illumise. Just throwing that out there.
Settle down. Settle down.
I'm just saying the data says.
Settle down.
Can't help that I'm right.
Go back to the win rate.
I am. I'm talking about win rates.
Let's see what else is interesting here.
Ooh, not a good showing for Mimikyu.
Can you not?
Look, I'm going to belittle your favorites as much as possible.
So actually, Heatran, if you want to, I was going to say, I was just about to bring it up.
Heatran
so,
with a 40% win rate.
Heatran and Sinistra were the two Pokemon that were over
10 brought and not very well represented in the win column.
Let's take a look at those 40.5
and Sinistra's 41.8% win rates.
Let's take a look at those Sinistra teams. Just to see. So the best finish was 17. So only one Sinistra made day two. They did a top 32 cut. And that Sinistra, it was just a good stuffs team with a Sinistra thrown on. And then, like a lot of these. Yeah, a lot of these just look like good stuffs teams. I think it's a situation where
there is a Goltres Sinistra team, which is just like good stuff thrown on.
Yeah. I think that is definitely a team that makes sense. A Quagsire.
Okie Okidoki Ogerpon. Just like, here's all Pokemon plus Chien Pao Dragonite.
where's the Monkey Dory?
No monkeys on this list.
Yeah.
Gotta drop the Dragonite for Monkey Dory and just play like Chien Pao Okidoki.
Just play a straight up Gen 9 team.
Also, I'm mad that Okidoki has a sprite, but Pheasant Dippity and Monkey Dory don't.
Yeah, because they suck.
Sir, you're not wrong. Also, Quagsire.
It went 2-5, but still Quagsire. So maybe it was just the teams in general that the mom was brought on where it didn't do well. But it wasn't like last week we had like Wolfglick bringing Sinistra. And again, like Wolf didn't play in this event. He was running it. So maybe like if he had it and he selected them on, it would have done well. We're not saying it's a bad Pokemon, but we are saying that it's a situation like people are prepped for it. And and at least this weekend, it did not have a great showing. Is it a flash in the pan? We'll see next week at Peoria.
So, looking here at the opposite side of the win-loss column, highest Pokemon, I'm just looking at, like, mons here that have 10-plus showings. King Gambit is the highest win rate of those mons at 60, it is roughly 62%. Urshifu Dark is at just under 60%. And then you're going to have to go down a little bit lower down here to Goldengo and Chiyu at 57 and like 54% respectively.
Yeah.
Past that, bunch of Landorus, over 50% win rate for Landorus, over 50% win rate for Roaring Moon, over 50% win rate for Rillaboom.
And then
Amoongus just over, Ogerpon just over, Cress, Iron Hands, and then Fluttermane with a losing record of 49.4%.
Just under.
Tinkaton. Yeah. Tinkaton was better than Illumise. Take that with what you will.
I can't even say I wish I had Jay on me to just balance this out. Because Jay would 100% side with you.
Oh, 100%.
It would just be me getting beat up on, even though I'm right. Maybe Tinkaton is a better Pokemon.
Results say otherwise. You're awful quiet over there.
I have no words. I can't believe... Oh, God. I don't know how Carl did this for, like, 160-something episodes with you.
You're in for, like, what, 4 now, and you're already...
This is... No, I think this is episode... This is episode 3. Both... No, what's going to be really weird is when you ask for the vacation, and you make Jay and I do this ourselves, that's when it's going to go off the rails. Because you're going to have my open... My open this week was good. It wasn't like last week. But my opens, Jay's endings, oh, it's going to be great. It's like the Igor's theme into Are We Still Friends? Just perfect.
Orangaroo. One Orangaroo.
Yeah, wait, look at that team. Why not? Let's take a look.
Let's look at an Orangaroo team here. Dark Urshifu, Mousehold, Ferrigraph, Torkoal, Ursaluna, and Orangaroo. Yeah, just like hard Trick Room stuff.
Mm. So that was also our last team.
Power Band Urshifu. Yep. Hold on.
And it's Power Band Urshifu, Power Lens Ferrigraph.
This team is
Were we hot. EV training? Like, you know you can't EV train in tournaments, right? You don't, just because your Urshifu picks up a KO, it's not going to get more EVs. You aren't going to get those extra stat, like that extra like 2 stat points on your attack stat for that.
Your opponent's not ready for a Trick Room Urshifu.
I'll also say this: I've seen like power item like Urshifu from like a few people. I think it was like Regulation B. No, not Trick Room. Wasn't Urshifu. It was another like faster mom with a power band. It was like Regulation B, Regulation C, Nishant was running it, and they kept on telling like me, it's like, this is terrible, I'm still going to use it, but this is awful, don't do it.
I feel like I've seen this, like, obviously I've seen this before, right? Like, it's not the most uncommon thing. I can't remember what I saw it on, though. Maybe it was for Rigoraph. I feel like I've seen Power Lens for Rigoraph before. What does that even get to speed wise?
Rigoraph? Let me take a look. See, do
I already got it pulled up? You're taking your sweet time over there.
No, I have it.
So min speed cut in half. So 58, you're getting to 27 speed. That is so incredibly slow.
You're actually getting to 29.
Oh, yeah, 29. You're right.
There we go. The math is finally mathing.
And Torkoal gets to absurdly low too.
Yeah, but like that's also crazy with like I mean I'm just gonna say this. You don't need to be 29 speed in the Ferrigraph.
Yeah, like, what?
The meta's fast enough.
I guess the idea behind it is you don't want life orbs, so you have, like, extra longevity. But you also don't want choice specs, because you want to be able to, like, set Trick Room with it.
Can you you have... You can go with a berry, you can go with gogs, you can go with throat spray. Nothing else on that team uses throat spray.
Yeah, correct.
This team also made cuts, so I mean we can't argue with it. It definitely did enough to do well to make it to day 2. Their day 2 wasn't that great, but they could still do it. Like they made it.
Interesting. Their only damaging attack is Energy Ball. Oh, Patrick Mahomes, why would you throw that ball?
Now,
he's you know, at least a second pick.
At least you weren't playing Rand Bats right now.
I mean, I can... Alright, well... Yeah. I can do both. I can do all 3. I can podcast, watch football, and do Rand Bats.
What?
You're gonna have to hard carry.
It's like you have to hard carry, but you aren't the one controlling the screen. So I think, do you want to just go through the top eight teams just to look at those?
Yeah, let's look at the top eight here. So this Joseph Ugarte guy is he's pretty all right. Last time I checked,
yeah, I think like James Evans, Justin Tang, that's Brian Hume, Luca Paz, Lorsi, again Grant, who I just mentioned. This is a stacked top eight.
Very good top eight.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I know Grant, Evans, Tang, Ugarte, Hume, Paz, and I believe Lorsi also made Worlds. I don't know Jacob Mortensen. I don't know of him.
I feel like I know that name, and I don't know why.
I feel like a ton of people made Worlds last year. So, I think it was, 100-ish players made Worlds. There's a good chance he made Worlds.
What's interesting, played James Evans in Day 2, lost to won against James in Day 2, and then lost to James in Top Cut.
You know, it happens, and I think that's the thing.
Yeah, 100%.
These good players get theirs, and I'm assuming that this is a good player. I mean, he got James in Day 2, but James was able to get it when it had to happen. Do you want to head back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The only other thing, just going through, the types of teams, again, we see two Flutter mains. We're seeing a lot of Iron Hands. I'd like to point out that James and Joe played a mirror in Top 4, and this team is actually the team that the two of them brought to Pittsburgh as well. So it's a Regulation D team they piloted to the Top 4 of a Regulation E tournament, just to show that, hey, if you don't know exactly what you want to bring yet to your next Regulation E event, if you have a Regulation D team that's super super comfy, you can just bring that in most cases. And on a lot of these other teams, just slap an Ogrepan on in one of your slots, and the rest is going to be fine.
Drop whatever bad water type you were playing and play Ogrepan.
Or, use your bad fire type, make it Ogrepan. You want to do another grass type, use Ogrepan. Grant had two grass types on his team. I think Grant's team in general is super interesting if you want to click into that. I think
Justin also was playing double grass.
Yeah. The winning team, this is a really cool team. You have the Specs Goldango with Trick. You have the Terraflying Tailwind Booster Roaring Moon. The Assault Vest Rilla. What I think is really cool is that the Rillaboom is not carrying Grassy Glide, but the Ogrepan is. It's the Ogrepan is using Grassy Glide
over Wood Hammer. Yeah.
Well, it's using Wood Hammer or Horn Leech. And it's also interesting seeing Follow Me on the Heartflame Ogrepan. You usually see that on the Wellspring Ogrepan.
Everyone I played this weekend had Follow Me. Really? That's not true. Three of the four had Follow Me. The other one had Sword Stance.
I think the other interesting thing is that the Rapids, Rant was the only person with Urshifu Rapid Strike in the top eight, and it was able to come out on top. In the finals, it was really able to show out once Grant was, especially in game two, once Grant was able to get rid of James's Terraflying Landorus and the Gastrodon, the Urshifu was able to just come in and completely clean up and just put out way too much damage. Even though we have this new really strong physical water type in Wellspring Ogrepan, Rapid Strike Urshifu is still a threat to that needs to be handled with. It's not a Pokemon you can just check off. Is it at the usage it was in Regulation D? No, but you can't. If you have a bad Rapid Strike Urshifu matchup, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Absolutely. Just swapping back over here to some more top eight teams. Yep. What else do we want to talk about?
I mean, we could talk about both Brian Hume and Joshua Lorsi's team, both, and actually Justin Tang as well, both of them playing the Good Stuffs teams with King Gambit. And King Gambit was a Pokemon that we pegged as something that wasn't top usage, but still had a decent handful, double-digit usage, and had a really, really great win rate. I think if you want to go and look at those teams, I think that would be
interesting. Is it all three the same team?
So, Tang has Delibird.
Yeah, Tang has Bundle. The others do
not. I'm sorry, Bundle, not Delibird.
Future yeah, it looks Delibird. Like Bundle over
Chiyu? Yeah, it looks like, yeah, that's what it looks like on the teams.
Interesting. So we'll pull
and, this one. And he had Rillaboom as well, but yeah. So.
Oh, did he? Okay.
So, in general, though, Flutterfish with King Gambit. It's Dread Plate, which is like Black Glasses, pretty much.
It's exactly Black Glasses. Interestingly, yeah. Black Glasses does less damage for Fling, I think, is the only difference.
Yep.
So, like, not relevant.
it's a flex. But anyway, like, what we're going to see, what we see with a lot of these teams, and it's something that we brought up with our tournament as well, is that Lando Flutter, Hands, Ogre Pond, that is just a really, really strong core. This is the Wellspring Mask. Like, that four works super, super well together, and it really just comes down to which two Pokemon do you want to splash onto it. And so the current big thing is Chiyu making your Flutter main a lot more threatening. This is a booster speed Flutter, so you can tell that because it is carrying the Icy Wind, and like being able to Icy Wind into like a Choice Specs Overheat, Choice Specs Heat Wave, or even Choice Specs Snarl into the Mirror Match is really huge. And the King Gambit to take advantage of all the Landers that we're seeing, all of the Hisuian Arcanine. We've even had some Gyarados pop up now and again. And the other thing that King Gambit really likes that isn't the Intimidate is the fact that we have like Snarl Chiyu coming up. A lot of the Flutters are this booster speed with Icy Wind, where you can switch the King Gambit into an Icy Wind. It's going to take practically no damage. It's going to get the +2 from Defiant. And then you can just start throwing out Sucker Punches like no tomorrow and have that immediate board presence where you're pretty much threatening a KO every single turn, especially if you're Terror Dark.
King Gambit slaps, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
To be quite honest, I wouldn't be shocked if this is the sixth that wins Peoria, or we see a lot of at Peoria. I
like this team a lot. I do. Yeah.
I think this is a really, really strong team.
Okay. Anything else you want to touch on here in top eight or a little farther down?
We can go a little farther down. We can.
We got a Goodra down here in 20th.
We have the Milotic hands combo in Milotic Moon combo in 12. Go down a little more. Actually, no, we're right here. Shout out to Nishan coming in 21st with the Psy Spam team that we put together, or at least like Jess and them put together like the night or two before the tournament. Love the vibes. Love to see it. Glad to see my friend doing super well.
Absolutely, Nishant's great.
Yeah, that's it really. Shout out to my bestie. Shout out to Jam as well. 31st place into the New England player. New England really ate in this tournament. We did really well.
Where was this at?
This was in New York City.
Okay, that's so what I thought. I thought it was in New York, but
yeah. So it was easier for the New England players to come. It was a lot more difficult for people out of this area, like the Northeast, like I-95 corridor, to come because of the fact that there was a massive flood in New York City, which led a lot of people, me included, being unable to drive through or even close to New York City on the Friday. So they actually, I think they did get slightly less people show up than they expected. But
I talked to Bruno, and I was following him on Twitter some. He was going to go,
yeah,
but no, his all the flight got canceled or something. Yeah, because of the rain.
they were canceling flights, trains, subways, like buses. When you get a chance, if you're interested, like look at some of like the pictures and videos after, and you'll understand why. Like, I mean, the city was in the state, like the state was in the state of emergency. You'll understand why, like, people were having trouble getting into the event. To be quite honest, I'm even shocked they were able to host it.
Yeah, it's, I heard it wasn't a, like, perfectly ran event, but, like, what event is, you know?
Yeah.
They got the job done. Has something. Yeah, and exactly, like, to run a, you know, a 100-person tournament in person is obviously very awesome and very, very glad that this was something that they were able to do. So, yeah. Huge shout outs to the Beast Coast crew. And I think, unless you have anything else you want to touch on, I'm ready to call it a day.
I was going to say, I gave my prediction on a team to win on what would win Peoria this upcoming weekend. Do you have any Peoria predictions?
Ambipom's gonna outplay Illumise. I also think both of them are gonna have a 0% representation on the weekend. If you are listening to this and going to Peoria and want me to give you a shout out next week, bring Ambipom. That's it. That's all you have to do. Tweet at me saying, "Hey, I brought Ambipom and I finished X and 9." Because trust me, I'll understand.
All I'm going to say is, if you value your mental health and your wallet, for the love of God, don't do that. Just no.
If you're here for a good time and not a long time.
Yeah, outside of that, I'm good to go. So, with Jay on vacation this week, it is your turn again to do the outro.
You know, I would, but I got this thing I got to go out to.
Absolutely not. You are not pulling that on me. You better remember. I know it's been a month. You better remember it.
I don't know nothing. I never have known anything. All right. So, as always, everyone, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow us over on Twitter. That is LR Lessons. That is at LR Lessons, myself at Mr. Missouri 25. Angelo, you're at RoVGC, right?
At RoVGC, and I am at Rose Tinted Cheeks, Rose with an H, and on Blue Sky.
See, you're going to plug that one because we don't have it, because you won't send me a code to get signed up for it.
I'm just going to make it myself. I'll do that when I'll get off.
You're literally the social media guy. How have you not done this for yourself yet?
Did you watch the Eagles game today? I'm distraught. I am just flat out, like, down horrendous, even though we won. Continue with what you were doing.
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe over on the YouTube channel. Make sure you, if you're over on the Spotify or the Apple Podcasts or any of those, Google Podcasts, anything like that, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us push our stuff against the algorithm and makes more people see our stuff to be able to, you know, run more events and all that good stuff. Past that, come and hang out in the Discord. Our community Discord is great, and we're just short of like 800 people now, so I would like to hit that before too long. And obviously, if you're listening and you're like, "Hey, why haven't I ever done that before?" This is a perfect opportunity for you to do so, because you could be the lucky number 800. I'm not gonna do anything for, you know, the person, but you could say you're the 800th person, so that's cool. Past that, want to make sure you follow us over on our website, lrlessons.com. We'll have our event schedule up there if and when we get back to running the circuit. And you can always check out the merch page over there while it's still up. We still haven't done anything with that, so, you know, that's still a thing that exists. And past that, you know, if you want to support us, you can do so over on Discord with Discord subscriptions, or you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com. And want to give a special shout out to our $10 and up patrons, including Johnny Bravo Sr., Papa Swish, and Smeargle over on Discord as well. I think that's it. I think we're done. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go eat dinner and watch the Chiefs somehow make a comeback and, like, not lose to the Jets.
Wait, what's this?
It's 20 to 12. The Chiefs are up, but Mahomes has played terribly. And, you know, it's not been a fun game to watch. Pacheco had a really good run, and that's like the only good play of the game so far. So, yeah. Mahomes is 200th career pass. Like his 200th career TD. So that's cool.
Good for him. He ruined, but yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to talk about how Mahomes ruins my night in February. That night didn't exist. I don't know what you're talking about. Season ended.
I'll talk about it. Eagles suck. With that, everyone, thank you so much for watching. Until next week, have a good one. Peace.
Bye.